She got the official papers of Dr. Bunnell reflected poorly on Dr. Bunnell, and so therefore should be destroyed, and proceeded to do it.
And she threw them all away, burned them up, or whatever?
Yep. I could have killed her. God, I'd be mad.
Well, Bunnell retired, but he would eat. I was eating in that regular thing,
sure.
So I knew him.
When I first saw Bunnell's papers, it was four steel drawer cabinet. Actually, they were not steel drawers. They were wooden.
File drawers.
And when I finally got around to realizing that I better get some of this stuff down on paper because it's affecting the lands of the university, and I went back and there was a half a file drawer
of
papers. I spent hours searching around that university, any place that these things could be hid out. And
how did you finally find what had happened to them?
Well, everybody referred me to Minnie Wells. She has them. She knows where they are.
Did she ever fess up?
Not really.
What did you say the papers were regarding?
Well, basically, all of the university. But when you see how the federal government made you apply for land, the university had two acts of Congress that gave them land. And the process was known as a clear list. And the clear lists, which is what I was trying to remember 2 weeks ago and couldn't think of, the clear lists consisted of about 8 different federal forms that had to be filled out and sworn to, and Board of Regents had to have a meeting and have a secretary of the minutes of the board meeting that passed the thing, and what is the verbiage of the act that was passed, and it just went on and on and on and on. And there were 9 of these things.
9 clear lists?
Clear lists. In fact, today you go out and talk to Lambs and ask some of the new employees out there what the Sam Hill's a clear list, and they just give you an absolute blank look. They have no idea what it is. But that's how they're coded in the land records.
Remember who some of the other teachers were, instructors were, when you were out there? You mentioned, Minnie Wells, and
let's see, the home ec teacher was,
Lola?
Kelly? She was there, all right. But they had another one. They had 2 home ec teachers. Must have been pretty big people. Only 10 girls.
Oh, well, what else was offered for the girls? Commercial studies and home ec, were there other things?
Yeah, I think they had a speech teacher out there. They put on a play. I was in the play, and they were taking pictures, and they had a yearbook, but I never, ever saw the yearbook.
There must be one in an archive someplace, surely.
I know they made it, but I never did see it.
What did they put on?
It was a play written by somebody right out there talking about the war and the university, too. It was a kind of a homemade thing.
I wonder if there's a copy of that anywhere.
I don't know.
Who lived in the big log cabin?
Well, it became the dean's.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dean. Remember who the dean was? Let's see, he would have followed Duffering, because Duffering was the dean.
Yeah, they didn't have anybody there. I don't know who took Duffering's place. If anybody did, I don't know it.
I can almost Hosley.
Well, I knew
the house at the log cabin is the Nordic house?
I think so.
Hosley was a graduate forester. his training. He got into administration somehow.
He was a nice guy. I liked him.
Do you mind if I have another bowl of soup?
Help yourself.
There's enough. Does anybody else need a warmer upper?
Nope. Not I.
How did you get it down so quick?
I'm hungry.
Jim and Taco. Yeah, I remember going to that house. This must have been in Mrs. Patty's day for some kind of tea. Because it was one of the nicer houses on campus at the time. And, of course, you had to wear a hat and gloves and
there were
heels.
Several social events that happened. And Mrs. Tilly's tea was one. And the president's tea was another. And this is where Neil Davis, when he wrote the book, got the chapter on Mrs. Patty thrown out because they threatened to sue.
Oh, was there a libelous statement in
well,
there?
Well,
no, it was the truth.
It was the truth.
What was the truth?
Well, Mrs. Patty came up intending to civilize the campus. And so these teas were part of it, dressing up and whatnot. And
gloves to your elbow and
Neil apparently discouraged this whole idea a little bit, is what I think happened. And Stan Patty, the son, saw it. He says, you take that out, or I'll take it to court, basically.
Take what out?
This comment about Mrs. Patty, which he considered to be an insult.
Mm.
We've got the book. You should read it. It's a great book.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to see what the chapter looks like,
mm-hmm.
go take it out to the... get the librarian to release it to you.
Oh, the archives.
It's in the archives. Neil Davis made very sure to get it in the archives.
That house, that log house, it's a Nordic house now on campus, appears that it has a loft in it or an attic that would almost have been like a live-in maid type thing because of the location of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know if they had did they have a live-in maid, live-in somebody who would have gone up the back stairs by the kitchen? Since that's how they came into the house, was through the back stairs.
I don't know. I don't remember some of the buildings at all in there. I know Old Main was a screen with these buckets sitting there full of water, and axes hanging around.
Well, I bet it was pretty flammable, the oil floors.
Yeah. It was.
So how did they fight fires in community? In the city, did they have fire departments or what?
I don't know. When I came here, the co-op drug had just burned that very day, night. And then it was all gone.
And did they rebuild in the same place so that the co-op
mm-hmm.
was a second?
No, they built in the same place.
Well, but that's when they built the concrete building. The
mm-hmm.
original co-op must have been
mm-hmm.
a frame building.
Good point.
To have burned so readily, and that's probably why they were interested in concrete.
Wasn't the co-op at one time a theater?
Mm-hmm.
Was that before or after the concrete building became?
It was in the concrete building. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the kids, and you maybe remember this, Colleen. You remember going to Saturday morning movies when you could, your admission was a bread wrapper from, what was the grocery store over in the Northwood building now? You might remember. I keep thinking Big Ray's, but what? Anyway, there was a grocery store in the main floor of the Northford building, and they sold bread, and with these bread wrappers, kids could get admission to the Saturday morning movies while their parents went shopping.
What a good idea.
Yeah. You never went to any of those?
Mm-mm.
Our kids did occasionally. Well, we still lived in town, and it's probably why they got
to go. Well, Maddie, when did you start teaching high school when you were here? When you worked at the university for 3 years?
I was out, and then I was out 8 more years with kids.
Oh, where you weren't working?
No, I didn't work at all then.
What year were your kids born?
Shirley was born in 50. I think.
Now, Shirley and Katie are about of an age, and Katie's 53.
What's her birthday?
54. Oh. Her birthday's January something or other, 15th. 56.
On what day?
His is the 50th.
Of
January. Shirley's was the 31st, I think.
Of January. Oh, okay. And then Phyllis, when was she born?
Well, it was 2 years. They were 2 years apart. Let's see. 52, 54. Phyllis must have been born 56.
And what day?
Phyllis is June the 7th.
Hmm. And then Danny?
And his is June the 10th.
And what year would that be?
63. Hmm. Did you go outside to have any of the babies? Did you have them all here, or did you have them all here?
No, in the hospital, St. Joseph's, all the four of them.
Who was your doctor?
Well, of course, being married to Carl, the only one doctor he knew was Hagelin.
Oh, really? Oh,
Dunlap must have been practicing then, wasn't he?
I think Dunlap did Danny's.
The last one, huh?
Hmm. And the first three were either Scheibel or Hagelin. Hagelin was with Shirley, I know.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel comfortable with the hospital birthing routine? Or?
Oh, yeah. St. Joseph's was as good as you could get in Texas, and that's where I was from.
Did you guys ever have any medical emergencies where you had to make it to town really fast, or?
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Let's see. Johnny was a splitting wood out there. Danny stuck his head right under the thing and got hit in the head with an axe.
Oh, no.
How old was he that he got his head between the axe and the wood?
He was about 6.
Oh, my.
Blood everywhere. Oh.
Were you home?
Mm-hmm.
So what did you do?
Carl washed him into the hospital. They sewed him up and brought him back.
How did you pay for that? Did you have insurance or was it cash on the barrel?
Mostly cash on the barrel head.
Did they have health care for those people who couldn't afford it? Did you pay up front or pay at the end?
I guess we must have paid at the end when they sent us the bill.
How about any other medical
That was
emergencies?
The main thing. Oh, yeah,
point?
With John, the two boys were always getting something banged up. But I don't remember Carl ever having to have an emergency, or, and I never did.
What about, do you remember anything about the day, the different days when you had to go to the hospital to have the kids, like what the weather was like or what was going on?
Oh, two of them, see, were in the winter, and the other two were in the summer. No,
so what
no
was
problems
like?
There.
You didn't have the car frozen up or anything like that?
Carl was really careful about getting those cars warmed up way ahead of time.
It wasn't any chance. Carl wasn't delivering any babies.
No.
So when he knew you were near time, he made sure everything was in good working order.
Yep, he did that. That's for sure.
He must have gone through several cases of Kleenex because he was the only driver in the district that would wipe a kid's nose before he could get on the bus.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That was one of Carl's rules?
Well, the way he left.
The way he did it.
You want everybody to be all gentlemen and ladies, huh?
When did he first buy a school bus?
He ran that little red, maroon-colored GMC panel 1 year. And that was before they even had bus districts. Then they... Ryan calls me and says, why don't you just drive these buses? You're here all the time. I can set my clock by you. So he started out and he said, we'll pay you so much a kid. Funks, I think, only had 2 or 3 kids, so he wasn't making much money. He went to, then right after he got a regular school bus, but it was too little because by that time two children's homes had opened up out here.
Sure. What brought children's homes out here? This seems like a strange place to put children.
Land.
Who gave the land for it?
Government.
Who was paying for these kids? Where were the kids coming from?
Well, they were both church-backed homes, so I suppose that's where their support was from.
Yeah, well, one was a Pentecostal church.
Mm-hmm. Was that the Maranatha or the...
No, this one,
the one
right up here
on the hill.
Top of the hill.
At Love?
Mm-hmm. The other was Maranatha, Fred Weiss's Arnav.
Is there any connection between the igloos on Steel Creek and any of the children's homes of yesterday?
No, I don't think so.
But then right after he got this little bitty bus, it was too little because Maranatha's children's home started, and then they brought in 20 kids and just about broke them. Mm-hmm. Because Ryan said, we'll pay you by the kid, $2 or $3. So Carl kind of lucked out there for 1 year.
You mean he did it for 1 year? Or...
He did it every year. We had it after that.
Mm.
So did he get a bigger bus than the next year?
The next year,
just 1 year?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you bet they went to, what, two buses or three?
Oh, yeah.
I think he had six.
Yeah, I know.
Charlie Warden, driver for
years.
And this was in the 50s?
Mm-hmm.
60s.
Let's see. When did he stop doing the buses?
He retired in 80, about 80.
Mm-hmm. Were you encouraging of him doing the bus thing?
I hope he did something.
He might have been busy,
all day
right?
Long, yeah.
What was the name of
the worker?
What was the name of your school bus company?
Something original like Herning?
Herning was bus transportation.
Herning bus transportation.
No, just Herning transportation. He left the word bus out, I think.
And any of that time was it that they were taking, in the summertime, the school buses were used for other things like they're now used down in, or used to be used down in Denali?
Nope. He took on special tours. If anybody wanted to take the home ec club somewhere, well, he'd give them a
charter.
Yeah. He did a lot of that in the summer.
Did you have competition that someone else wanted this great opportunity?
Yeah, he had a lot of competition. Chuck Reese was working for the competition, whatever that was. He had a bid on it every year. But he got to the point where we couldn't afford the insurance.
No.
Wow, it's not bad, huh?
Mm-hmm. I like cranberry relish.
It's not a good one, that's the raw cranberries.
Cranberries, oranges, and sugar.
And then it's frozen? Mm-hmm. It'll stay like that?
You can keep it in the refrigerator for months. There's so much acid in the...
Well, that's, when you replenished this jar, I think it was several months after
Oh, yeah,
Christmas.
We keep it in there all winter.
There must be some more soup over there.
There is more, but I'm not having any more. Would you like some, though?
No,
I can fill your bowl.
No,
how about you, Nancy?
No, thanks.
Natty, you want some more crunch?
I'm fine.
Thank you. I know what put in it.
Yeah, but we watched you eat one bowl, so we know.
Oh. Well, that's a different topic. If you're going to watch.
I'm going to eat some more of this.
Mm-hmm. You want cottage cheese?
Oh, I guess so.
You don't have to have it without the cottage cheese.
One that it's really good on is fresh pears.
I thought you were going to say some good vanilla ice cream.
No.
That would be good, too.
Yeah, cottage cheese is hard to beat. Well, Maddie, you said you weren't into bread baking years ago. Did you ever get into bread baking?
Oh, yeah, 20 loaves a week.
When you started making bread, you were making 20 loaves. Now, where did you get the flour to make 20 loaves of bread?
Oh.
I mean, that's a lot of flour.
Yeah. Well, I had four kids.
We were still feeding
some of these...
Miners.
Whatever
bums.
You call them.
Yeah. Sounds like. Mooches. Did you buy most of your groceries from the NC company?
Yeah.
Did you buy it all on cash on the barrel, or did you run a tab?
We had a credit.
Mm-hmm. And how often did you have to pay a credit tag on?
Once a month.
Was Grandma working
there?
Oh,
and Bill. Yeah.
Our bill
for the month would be about $400. With three little kids and four little kids.
Mm, wow.
What year was that?
Oh, let's see. We were married in 52. Started out $400 a month just for groceries, right out, flat out.
No, you were feeding half the community.
Guys, big, strapping, hungry guys. So Carl has always had a history of being a generous person, huh?
Yeah.
Did he ever resent those guys?
No, it was just me.
Yeah, I would.
I resented it.
I would have.
Well, yeah, if you wanted a family of seven grown men in your life, you would have married them, right?
I wouldn't have married all four of them, all seven of them.
And not that seven anyway, right? Maybe Carl and Tripp, the one that worked.
Did you ever get any of those guys married off?
I don't think so.
Did you try to do matchmaking?
One. There just weren't any girls up here.
Yeah.
Not out on Homestead, anyway. Well, who else was out here? When did the Rissies come out? They were here, I think, before we came out. By a couple of years, at least.
Well, he said that he dug Harold Septic. Well, he dug his outhouse.
Mm-hmm.
As he told me about how he dug that.
That was Lee Rissy did that?
Yeah, that's what he told me. He was explaining in great detail how you could dig this trench, how deep it had to be and how wide it had to be, and there was Big Strap and Lee making a big bit of money digging an outhouse hole.
I know who built ours, Don.
Dad built the outhouse over there?
Really fancy.
That one that always
had a square.
Mm-hmm.
You walked into it, then there was a partition, and you walked around that way.
Mm-hmm.
And back here was a place to put the rakes and hoes and whatever else he had outside.
That's a nice
combination.
Is that still there? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I got to either close it up or lock the door because the floor's rotted out.
Oh.
So if you walk in it, you may fall in.
You might go into.
You might fall in, find out what was thrown down the septic system there, huh? As such.
I'd like to then bob straight over to visit you.
So how many years did this outhouse have in existence?
Still working.
Except for the rotted floor, which means that
you could make your way into it, yeah.
Was it a one-holer or two-holer?
Just one. And it had a regular toilet seat on it.
Mm-hmm. Regular toilet seat, huh? They hadn't come up with foam on the seat, so you didn't stick?
That came later.
I remember loving to go into your outhouse.
It was a fancy one.
It was the fanciest outhouse I'd ever been in. Plus, it had this really picturesque calendar with all these women on it, I think.
Now, who chose that?
I don't know.
Well, what makes it, other than the fact that you'd walk in and turn a corner?
It was big.
It was a big one. 6x6, maybe 6x10x10. No, it wasn't 10x10.
Did it have some kind of window to let in light so there wasn't dark?
Well, there was a window.
The whole top was not hooked to the sides.
The WPA had a standard one-holer.
Oh, I remember
that
one.
I'm sure it was 6 feet by 6 feet.
It was standard design.
Mm-hmm.
So since it wasn't hooked in, we had squirrel visits.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd eat the paper.
They sure did. Maybe eat you if you weren't sitting right.
I was always afraid of bears getting me.
Oh, yeah.
Better eat that before it gets gone.
I'll give you a cold rag.
I guess.
Well, I think it's interesting that one outhouse lasted the whole time for you raising your kids, that you never had to change that outhouse location.
How long did you use it, though? You got plumbing.
Yeah.
Before too long, didn't you?
Well, after we paid off the stuff that's still in the hole. Yeah, we got the water pretty 2 years, maybe.
Uh-huh. Just a couple of years, then.
I think we were without plumbing a couple of years. All together, maybe four.
That's not too long.
No.
Seemed long to me.
Well, sure it does at the time.
I came out of a house with three bathrooms and two or five bedrooms and all that kind of stuff. In Amarillo.
So was this like having an adventure to live in a primitive way?
But Mother and Dad could understand anybody wanting to stay up here. This was the place to make money. He knew that. But when Mother found out, and she never did forgive me.
How did your dad make his money?
When he and Mother first married, they bought a little old piece of land. Two sections. Right off of Pampa. 10 miles out of Pampa, Texas. And then he farmed it. One section was farmland, and one section was real rough. And he started leasing it to oil companies. And I'm still getting money off of that.
Famous Texas oil well.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in the rough land, I think.
Mm-hmm. All right. They joined two sections.
Mm-hmm.
This one was rough, and this one was plowed. He had wheat. And he had lots of bad luck. He and Mother went to town and bought 50 pieces of cows. 50 cows, little calves. He brought them home, and then the year of 1917 was when my sister was born. Nope, that's not right. I was born in 17. Anyway, every last one of them died. He had to skin them all and took the skins to them. Uh-huh. So they had to back to pay out. And I think that was right after the war, World War II. One. And it took him forever to get that paid back out. Kind of like our well over here, we had to pay for that. And we didn't get, selling a skin was a lot cheaper than selling a cow.
Did you ever think about leaving Alaska at any time during the homestead days?
No, never did. I was right where I wanted to be.
Mm-hmm. What would you say is what kept you here?
Oh, I guess Carl.
Mm-hmm.
He lost his contract one year. This guy that was bidding for, I can't think of that other company's name. They came in with a lot of other buses. And Chuck Reese was working on the
ground. You want some
routes.
Water, Mary?
No, I want to drink this. And we lost everything, lost the contract. Well, he was getting up there in age, and he didn't want to go back to carpenter's work. Though he could have built anything around. They were all good carpenters, that whole bunch. And they were all good cooks, all those herring boys. So we went back to Texas to see what we could move back there. Because Dad still has these two sections of land, and he was renting them out. He would have been glad to have had Carl or anybody else that would tend to anything. And we decided we'd like to move back to Texas. Well, when we got in the mood, Carl said, we went down there and Dad were talking, and Carl said, looks like he's going to have to make a change. We couldn't keep the bus contract.
Mm-hmm.
We just couldn't go down low enough to make it, make any money off of it. So Dad said, if I were you, I'd go back up there and I'd make them give me that bus contract. Mm-hmm. So we knew right then and there that Daddy wasn't going to support anybody else. So we came back, and Carl went in, and he did negotiate a couple, 3 more years. So we never ever thought about
that. That was the closest we came to moving back.
Back.
Mm-hmm. What do you miss about Texas? Is there anything you miss about down there?
I don't like all this dark winter.
So you miss the light, huh?
Well, I wouldn't want to move down there.
What do you like the most about being here?
Oh, just family.
Mm-hmm.
They're all here. The Hernings took me right in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't tell you about Earl. I was trying to get up that big hill, come out to make that turn. You had to go up that great big old hill.
Off by the
way.
Mm-hmm. Or 4 miles.
4 miles or something. It's not on a road at all. They moved the whole thing off of that hill. It was way up at the top, and I couldn't get up it. I backed down it 100 times every year. like I was doing then into this one, too. A lot of times I had to back by this one at Steel Creek, where Tilly would put her boards out and go across the creek. And we were at the bottom of that hill. Now, what was at the bottom? Just as you turned off of Steel Creek, you got on the bottom of that. And I'd already backed down that thing once. If you start backing, you got to have the whole road.
Yep.
Because you can't back down it. And generally, I get out and look and see how to do. Well, I got out, and there were two other cars back already down. So I had to back, clear to the back. And this guy came up to me, and he said, "This hill should have been eliminated long ago," or something like that. And he was fussing about that hill and how many times he had backed down. And he said, "I don't believe I know you." And I said, "I'm Maddie Lee Herney." He said, "You're Carl's wife?"
"You're kidding me."
And he never said another word.
This is rural.
Got in the car and drove off, and I never saw him ever again.
Oh, for her
to speak to him or anything much.
Huh. You never came around your place? Huh. What was his big beef?
He and Julie were mad.
At Carl?
I don't know who they were, who he was mad at. It wasn't me, because I never had seen him before. And it's such a shock, standing out there in the cold, waiting for that car in front to get up the hill or something.
Mm-hmm,
or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was behind him. And he was already out there looking to see if these cars had gone up. And he didn't say a word. He didn't say, "That's my name, too."
Huh. And that
so
was...
when I got home, I said, "Have you got any other brothers around here?" And he said, "Yeah, Earl." And I said, "Well, that's what he said his name was." And he was flabbergasted because Earl was mad at Harold and Carl both.
Did you ever find out what he was mad about?
Yeah, religion.
Was that the feud?
Uh-huh. And Don wasn't
well,
in it.
He wasn't in that feud yet.
Yeah, he was,
but he
was on Earl's side, so I hardly knew Don either.
Well, when that feud was happening, you know, I'd heard stories about the kids weren't supposed to wave at the other kids when you went by in the car. Did anything like that happen to you?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
What would happen?
They just didn't wait to speak to you.
So you'd drive by on the road, and they wouldn't wave?
I would wave, but they didn't. But that didn't bother me at all.
This was
I didn't
different
care.
Different churches they belonged to, or what was the...
Earl went over to Hawaii, and he came back with a little strange thing. It wasn't church, it wasn't Baptist, it wasn't even in the Bible, or whatever it was.
It was his own version, though.
Something,
religion,
yeah.
Huh?
And Harold and Carl didn't agree with him. But when he died... Carl wanted to go down to his funeral. Carl and Don both went.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, Earl had come to visit since
mm-hmm.
that whole thing happened. What was Earl doing in Hawaii?
I have no idea what he was doing over there or anything. But he was living there.
Hmm. Yeah, I know Kathleen said they used to hide behind when Earl would, or Dad would go over to Harold's. The kids would have to hide behind the rain barrel. It was our feud. We had our feud. I just never knew much about
it. Well, it was mostly Earl's doings. Earl and Julie both.
Mm. Mm.
So I never got into it or out of it either.
Mm-hmm.
I was just there.
Mm-hmm.
And he never did come to our house, not until they finally decided that was kind of a dumb thing to do.
Well, didn't he lose his homestead?
He sold it for nothing. And Don and Harold,
didn't want to live here, right?
I guess, Don and Harold and Carl, all three, would have given him twice what he got. But he didn't tell anybody we wanted to sell it or leave. He just left. Packed up and left. Threw everything out in a big garbage hole.
All his stuff?
Everything.
Out in front of his place or something?
It was in his back, the backyard.
Gee, that must be a good...
We went over there and dug out some of it. Some brass lamps, Carl and I. And Harold. I don't know if Don...
And he never said goodbye? They never said goodbye?
Uh-uh.
Well,
but we
wife,
went down to California to see
like
him. But I don't think she liked anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere. Because now they moved out of Santa Barbara back up to Seattle. She has.
Mm-hmm.
I never did know her very much. What are these little things? Snickers.
No, oh, those are little
almond joys.
They're almond joys. There's almond joys,
that's,
and there are some little snickers.
You work it right. Bruce will put a mask on for you.
Oh,
Halloween.
This is Halloween action.
Right.
This is left over from Halloween.
I like mounds anytime.
Oh, you dig deep and there's a puppy in the bottom.
There's a puppy in the bottom?
Don't ask.
That's a pretty bowl. I seems like I've got a bowl kind of like that.
Maddie, did you guys see a lot of bears around your place?
We saw, during the whole time, maybe three.
Oh, that's not many.
Uh-uh. Any one crawled up our tree and then he couldn't get down, a little baby bear.
You never had there. One trying to get in the house?
Oh, yeah, they looked through the window at us.
What would you do?
Scare them to death. I was scared that the kids, some of the kids would be out there and they'd eat them.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd hunt up the kids and that was it. By that time, they'd be gone. I liked all the moose around. We still have a lot of that. And we still have foxes, too. There's a red fox down the road.
There's a bunch of them.
We had cross fox and we had a dark black in the past. But now it's a pretty red one.
It comes running right across our garden.
Is it red this year?
Mm-hmm.
That's the same one I see.
And I was seeing what I think are fox tracks out here on the snowball trail along the road, just right straight down the trail.
At night, you can hear them out hunting, and they bark to each other.
Mm-hmm. The foxes bark to each other?
Mm-hmm. Well, little dog bark.
I didn't realize that.
They hunt in pairs. One will bark, and the other one sees if anything is scared up by that noise.
By the bark.
And they just keep moving along.
I didn't know that.
So one stays silent.
Do they hunt mice, too? It seems to me like they're digging for mice.
Anything they can get off, I would imagine. The smaller than they are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as shallow as the snow is, they can
dig it easy.
They can even smell them.
Not much cover this year for those little rodents.
Getting back temporarily to Carl Lindstrand, Beatrice was saying the other day that she said, I think he could smell my cooking. All the way.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Sure. About almost a mile.
Because if he didn't eat in our house, he was over town.
Right. And said he'd come down of a Sunday morning when they hadn't had to get up, they'd still be in bed, and he'd come in and shine the flashlight in their faces and say, it's time
through
to
the
eat.
Window or something?
No,
inside the house?
Walk into the bedroom.
And he didn't have to.
And then he'd go over and shake the coal stove down so that he could start cooking.
Get the heat in the house.
Yeah. Did you ever know Fred Anderson? Lived down here in the cabin.
Mm-hmm. I think he died pretty quick after I got here.
No, he was around for a little while.
Was he an agriculture guy that was growing new plants? And new
No. He was an old trapper.
I guess I didn't know.
Trapper.
Lived in the Atlanta area for a while.
Well, he came up here.
Mm-hmm. What about that trapper that lived on Estro Road? He died of a bee sting. What was his name? Oh, he's a bachelor trapper.
Well, that's all we're out here.
Yeah.
Well,
no woman in it right now.
I didn't know I would live out here, right?
Well, if you didn't know how to back up a hill, what the hell?
I couldn't back up them. I could hardly get up them front ways. And that's why I was having to back all the time.
Mm.
Well, about the time I'd get ready to get off of low gear, I'd need a car, and they were right smack in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
You don't stay there. We were in the middle of the road going up as well as coming down.
Mm-hmm. Well, that road was only
if they didn't let you up, get
the
up there
half wide.
Yeah. That was a terrible road.
Maddie, you had your family here, and then I recently met Mrs. Gamble down on the end of S Road, where the ladies sort of bound together because there were so few of you.
Well, we tried to two or three times.
Steel Creek Hoppers.
Right? That was the name of your homemade.
Steel Creek.
Well, sure. We had Hopper Creek over here. Steel Creek over here.
And we'd meet once ever so often, a month or something. It was kind of fun
meeting.
We got that big old Quonset hut out there so the kids could ride their bicycles and tricycles and all that junk that they couldn't see. We never did have a piece of concrete. Anytime they wanted to. We had a big stove in there.
And they'd ride their bicycles around in the Quonset hut? Oh, that was a good idea.
And tricycles and scooters and wagons. They had it all.
Playhouse. And well, the
we'd meet out there. We had more than anybody could get in the house.
Well, we did meet in houses, though. Yeah. I remember meeting up at Barry Lynn Strand's and over
at Greta's. You came to our house.
And in your house. I remember meeting up at your house when you were clear up on top of the hill.
In the little tiny cabin?
Well, I'm not sure.
Dorothy would have
sure
the best stuff to eat.
Up there.
Dorothy was the cook. I don't know why they... Well, Dorothy wasn't out here then. Why all these guys...
Never heard of her name.
She got part of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she was such a good cook. But for some reason, they didn't go to her house.
Yeah,
it was well off the road. All these...
After they moved, yeah, after they were in the basement there. I remember meeting there.
All that commotion downstairs. Kids being upstairs.
Wonder all the ladies having fun. And then we had 4-H, which the homemaker sort of sponsored.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Did you ever teach a 4-H class? Well, you were busy working, huh?
Yeah, she was teaching all that time. We tried to start a community club out here at one time. Were you in on that?
Yeah, I think so.
Never went very far, but tried.
Not enough community-minded people.
That's
huh?
right.
Well, we even had that problem with the women on that four-store Steel Creek Hoppers. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, that
I don't
was
know
for
what
a number of
there, but
well, our kids grew up and left, and some of them did go to work, I think. Sometimes some of them moved. I wore out. I think some of the others did too.
Were you organizing a lot of it?
Yeah.
And
we didn't
Everybody had to do something. We didn't have new members
coming in. I think was probably the big. Big thing,
we had everybody that lived on the road.
Oh, yeah.
That was interested at all.
Did anybody keep a historical record of this? Does anybody have, who was the historian who kept track of the...
We had the minutes. I know somebody was taking them and reading them.
Whatever happened to them, I don't know.
I never did do anything with them, except I saw them occasionally or listened to them. I don't know who had it.
Do you remember the Ackerman that lived on out about 9 miles? I have a very vague recollection of her. She came around.
I remember him better than I do her.
They must not have been there too much longer after we started Homemakers.
Probably weren't.
Well, I sure enjoyed 4-H. That was a big high time of the summer for me. We're all 4-H club meetings and
all the kids
together.
Gathered up all the stuff and took it to the fair.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and dress review. Remember dress review?
Mm-hmm.
Having to be ready for it, having to...
And the cook-off.
Did Katie go for that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was a year she was supposed to...
There's a bus.
Yeah, I can't remember what it all was, but she came out on top of some contest thing and was supposed to go back in the evening and... And model
getting
her
back
dress.
But in the evening stuff was out of the
she
question.
She was too embarrassed.
Yeah, embarrassed, scared. I don't know. I never did understand what it was, but
it was scary.
There was no telling her. I mean, she made up her mind. She was not doing it. So they had to get along with her.
Well, now, was it Nathan that I would take to the kindergarten?
Yeah.
To the what?
To kindergarten.
Mm.
Yeah,
well, we had to take them if they went to kindergarten.
Yeah, to one way. And Martha Lindstrand.
Mm-hmm.
Three of those kids were of an age.
Was Nancy in on that too?
Mm-hmm. Nancy was younger, wasn't she?
I think Nancy and Phyllis both, and they were supposed to go to kindergarten. Neither one of them went. Mm-hmm. I don't think Nancy went to kindergarten. And ever since.
Well, she was babysat by Martha Lindstrand.
Oh, well, then she would have been quite a bit younger. Presumably.
Or Mary. She was babysat by
Mary. Yeah, that would make more sense.
Yeah.
I used to walk Nathan up to Lindstrand's usually, and you and Everett took turns taking the kids in, didn't you?
I think so.
I didn't have a car at the time, unless Al was out of town, and if he did, then
I
took a turn. Right. But basically, one of them took him, so.
But Phyllis was the one that never did go to kindergarten, and I thought maybe Nancy didn't go either, because there was no way to get her there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Katie never went either. She's still deprived ever since.
So is Phyllis, and here she is teaching kindergarten. Never had one, never didn't go to kindergarten. She was our only kid that didn't get there. She was in the third grade before she ever learned to read. She was memorizing everything just as perfect as could be.
So she could pretend to read it, huh?
I thought she could read.
A wonderful memory.
She does. She did then. Then when I found out she couldn't read, third grade.
Would you sit her down and...
Oh, scared us all to death. But she caught on right quick, and she knew what the page already said. Mm-hmm. Couldn't read. So she put on a big show.
Thinking about, you know, that if Ruth had a car, then she would drive, and that makes me think about the fact that you guys were all on party lines back then, right? Because it wasn't until the 80s. Well, when
I'm
we lived here in the 80s.
My phone hanging up there by the door.
Oh, yeah.
And Keith like, loves to ring it.
Oh, I bet. Well, when did we get phones? We didn't get phones until...
Oh, this was our own line we had.
Yeah, oh.
Were you
what
hooked
you
into that?
No,
line
no.
is still there.
The line,
line
is still there.
What do you mean, your own line?
Between their houses. They had a landline.
A phone line running around on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a part of the land phone here down in the lower field here at the Georges,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it must have gone to Colby Everhart's, I think.
Yeah, I think it did.
So who strung that?
The women did. We wanted a phone pretty bad.
And so did Dorothy and Ann go out and string those phones?
They're the two that did the phone.
I would be
did you
surprised.
Too? Did you, Bruce?
No, oh no, that was before our time.
So you got this telephone that hooked up just the ladies who sort of bought
wanted
into
it.
The concept
well,
of
the family,
we're
going to
be
welcome.
Together. And
Earl had a line on that too, I think. How would I have got over to Earl's? I don't know.
Well, now, did you hook up into town at all?
Oh, no. Wasn't
so it was just
commercial.
Like having the old tin can concept.
That's right. That's what it was, more or less. Every time a moose would go across, he'd drag his feet and wreck it.
Somebody had to find
then
where the
Dorothy and Ann or somebody would walk the line and patch it up.
And everybody had a certain number of rings that you knew was yours, but you could pick up the phone.
And listen to everybody.
So did you give up that phone when you got the phone strung out here?
No, I think we still kept it part of the time even then.
Well, the way those first phones worked, it was smart to keep it because
you couldn't.
Those first phones were so...
The moose was forever wrecking it, and so we thought we might want to need it, why they kept it going. And you'd run out of line that would hook into it, right? Finally, I think just about any old piece of wire would work.
So when did you get commercial phones out here?
Oh, Carl went around to get everybody to hook up to Fairbanks.
Oh, yeah.
And then here came North Pole and gave the phone to
Edinger.
And so Fairbanks
gave
didn't
the
go.
Franchise to get
no, gave them a phone.
No, he talked him into signing up with them, and that
stopped everybody.
Gave them the territory.
Oh, no.
They
established
the boundary,
Otherwise, we'd have that good city phone system.
Mm-hmm. And we got North Pole where it had 12 people on a party line.
When it was even working.
Yeah, when it was working.
So that's why if you live, like, at the Rainbow Trailer Court, you have a telephone number that's in town. But if you live with Gettinger's, you have 488.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Except I think Gettinger is now...
He's probably town.
City.
Well, yeah, well then he took the lie, so he's the one that got the city phone.
Okay, so maybe it worked the other way.
Right.
He stopped North Pole from going any farther by taking the
And he stopped
phone.
The city, The city didn't go any farther either.
Well, of course, North Pole
was awfully disgusted with that.
Yeah. When they first came across the flats, went east before they came here.
Because
there for a while, we could go over to Days, I think it was, and use the phone.
Or where's Days?
Over
you know
there.
Where my daughter lives?
Phyllis?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's Day's place. Then it wasn't too much longer after that before they extended it back this way.
Mm-hmm. And the phone bill was $80 then. And we had 12 people on the line.
$80 a month? Mm-hmm. I didn't remember that.
$80.
We didn't have a phone. I always used to hear, we never had a phone in high school, so years later I'd hear that, oh, some boy named Jim called for Colleen, called you guys. It's like, oh, well, I missed him, huh? Yeah, I missed him. I missed them all. Probably good, though, or I would have been the regular hometown girl.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, I'm kind of glad that I got in all my traveling and adventures that I did and didn't marry a guy that I grew up with.
You grew up with some nice ones, though.
I did grow up with some nice ones. Now, with the perspective of time.
Hindsight.
Yeah. Well, I should get going here pretty soon.
Well, no, I don't want to wear Matty Lee out.
1:15.
Seems like all I've done is talk.
Do you take a nap like I do?
I don't, because I don't get up in time to make a day out of it.
Oh, I see. Well, that's another way to do it. Accomplishing the same thing.
You know, that's, I think, driven by darkness.
And I think that's true.
Yeah. Ruth loses some of the daylight in the day, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's a shame.
Taking a nap.
In the summertime, this time of year, I don't mind.
Yeah. Do you take a long nap or a short one?
Getting shorter all the time. I may stay in bed the same length of time, but I don't sleep and read your
book. Oh, yeah, that could be, too.
But I work across.
Well, if you're going to go, Colleen, I better go. I have to go home. Okay.
Yeah, I've got to do a bunch of practicing. I've got a dance I'm planning for tonight. So I haven't practiced all the time.
Where are you playing tonight?
The University Ballroom for the contra dance that's going there.
You got your CD made? You were making a CD there.
Yeah, well, we've got most of the tracks are mixed, and we just have to do some fine-tuning on it, and then we're going to send it to the production company and have them.
Is there a production company up here still? There was
one. Well, our recording studio that we're using is Tim's Planet, and they're up on Amanita Drive.
Oh,
and they're
they?
Recording us and mixing
other things with it.
Mixing it, and then we'll probably send it out to Disc Masters to have them put it in production. Yeah, it's almost done.
What's the name of the people that are up on Amanita?
Tenth Planet Recording Studio?
Yeah.
Pat Fitzgerald and Robin Dale Ford.
Oh, they were there.
Yeah.
I knew those names, and I knew they were all in
the long-term rock and roll musicians have become a little more acoustic these days.
I think a couple months probably now ago, we were thinking of the fact that there must be something in the water or the air out in this particular part of the subdivision hillside, because there seems to be an enormous number of children who found their way into music and have got it in their adult life. And that it's like, what is happening that, you know, is it like you get the Hoffmans and my kids and...
Oh, your kids are musicians?
Yeah, well, they all do music of some sort when high school with it, and that one still does music than the other one.
How old are your kids?
Well, my eldest is 33, Hannah. She's the daughter.
What did she play?
She played the flute. She's about the only one who didn't continue on with this, but then the eldest son does piano. And then
how old is he?
He's 31 now. And then I have a 28-year-old who played a horn, and he still plays it every once in a while. And then the baby is Sam, and he's 25.
Yeah, four.
Mm-hmm. And he plays the bassoon, and he also does synthesizer music. And but I think
he still does that.
Yeah, he still gets together with the kids and does bassoon, borrows a bassoon from somebody. And think, you know, this community seems to have bred a lot of people who seem to like music and who actually have done something with their music, as opposed to invest in the piano lessons or whatever the lessons, and then it never happens again.
Don't they still play piano?
Well,
those who didn't do that, I still do.
We got to play some music together, Manny.
Well, you know, I burned my hand when I had my stove fixed.
Uh-oh.
I picked up a glass that was sitting, all four burners were on, this guy was working on the stove.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked up this glass, I didn't realize just the burners being on was getting this thing in the middle hot. And I just burned all four fingers and this thumb, grabbing hold of a big glass like this. And instead of burning it with blisters, it just went inside. I burned the insides.
Oh, how sensitive.
And I asked Part, now, this one kind of blistered right here. He said, it would have been better on you if you'd have burned them all four outside, and they all blistered. And now these four, he said, they'll heal, but it's going to take a long time. And these two have healed inside.
I've never heard of that.
And these two are still healing. And man, I can't pick up anything with these two. So that messes up my piano playing in the middle of summers when I had them out there working. Sears Roebuck was out there fixing. And they did a good job, but man, that sure did burn my hand. And these two are now just being so itchy that I can't even turn the key in the lock with these two fingers. It's kind of messy.
Oh, I've been trying to remember to ask you. There's a new road up above the first one this way from your drawing.
That's Calvin's insurance. He's got a new road in there. So
okay, will that move into John's property? Or
move into Shirley's. See, we split that four 40 acres.
Oh.
We gave the first one to Johnny.
Mm-hmm.
And then we built his house, and then he wanted that garage, so we really got stuck with that. Then he moved to Dallas. So he's in this big rock fireplace house with a big fancy two-car garage and a big room on the side.
Where
she
Rick
had
is living, right?
Yeah.
John's garage.
And Johnny still got the car, the garage, and he puts one car in, he just leaves it. And Ricky used the other car, garage. And then we gave the back half, the back 40 acres, to Shirley.
Mm-hmm.
And then we gave this on Herring Road on Eberhardt's.
Yeah, oh, okay.
To get to Eberhardt's road, we gave that 40 to Phyllis. And I'm still on this other 40 down below.
Okay, well, I just knew
and
John
that house, Johnny, Calvin, I didn't think he wanted it too much. So I said, surely if he doesn't want it, why don't you just sell it? Well, I found out he's just been waiting to get out here in the 40 acres. He lives on a 1 acre patch
up
there.
Oh, so they'd like to build that.
And they're going to build and I said, well, are you going to build he gave her a big, two different house plans for Christmas. You know, these big fancy ones, the $50 deals. Why two, I don't know.
Make a choice.
Oh, I guess. They're going to take parts of two of them. And they're going to try to start it next summer. But in the meantime, he's come out here and built that big, nice road.
We saw that.
And he's got a gate across it now because he didn't want these wheel machines in there or whatever kind of machines were in.
There'd be all sorts of stuff in there.
And they were going in there and always starting fires and stuff. And then Mrs. Titus lives on this side of it. And she was kind of worried about the fires, too. They were always starting in there. So that's who's put the road in.
Okay.
And it's a whopper of a road.
Oh, it looks like it, yeah.
Well,
you've got your road builder
to keep up with. Yeah. Do it with.
Okay.
And the other day I said, Calvin, if you don't like that road, that location out there, I thought that might have been it. He said, I like that location. I'm just waiting that we can get over there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's so much nicer than where they're at right now.
But they've got a nice house where they are,
the
and it's close
nice.
To, yeah.
And it's close.
But there's a lot of people all around them.
Yeah, surrounded by people.
They're very close to Tom. They're on Franklin. You know, you pass Franklin before you get to Nugget Loop.
Right and he's on Nugget Loop?
He's on Inclination Drive, which is just off Nugget Loop. Not too far off the
just
highway.
Just up the road a little bit.
Who was this guy that owned that house where they had a swimming pool there in the corner?
Oh, Dick Randolph.
Does he still own that thing?
No.
No, that's been the Blues for some years. Woman, what's his name? His name is
The moisture from the pool
wrecked his house.
They just about got the house ready to fall.
Oh, yeah. It's
really?
You
mean having it just in the summer full of water? Oh,
well, they kept it full of water all the time.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a lid on it either.
Go walk around it and take a look at all the logs.
Yeah, we were out there
some
years ago, for a Sister City deal.
Dry rot.
I don't think that was a nice house, too.
Yeah.
You study it now and you wonder, I don't think I want to stand this close to it.
That's really serious.
I never did. Well, they used to have something when I was teaching at West Valley. I went out there. But even then, it was a bad situation, that swimming pool. But they didn't even keep the lid on it. Since then, I think they've got a canvas type top.
Well, I wonder if they even have water in it. Sure, they do.
Well, I wonder how Ann and Al are going to do over there in Ricky's house.
They've got
a hot tub.
Yeah.
And it's full of water most of the time. But they've got this.
Contained. I mean,
They've got a lid to put on it, a roof on top of the thing. But I was wondering if that was going to wear that house down.
I don't think so, not that much. It's the volume of water that's in the, where that swimming pool was. That's an awful lot of water.
Well, I don't know what... to me, it looked about the same as what Ann's got over there.
Well, we haven't seen Ann's, but most hot tubs aren't that big.
Yeah.
Oh, this is one of those bigger ones from Sam's, I think. Sam's, whatever Sam's called, club.
I haven't seen it. Do they use it?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Somebody's into it all the time.
Oh, but Ann's arthritis, that's what it is.
Yeah, I think that's why they got it.
But Al and Ann, I've got them started to auctions. Now then, they're all quitting auctions. They don't have them. Van Bowman is selling out.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to move to Golconda in Illinois. That's her home.
Mm-hmm.
And her mother died in the summer, and her dad's not doing good.
Well, that just leaves us with one auctioneer in town, right?
That leaves Lee Schultz. Yes. Who's been on a big drinking spree ever since he got back from his vacation, and people are getting so mad at him.